Hey, y'all. It is time. We are going to talk about some good, better, best and secrets to eating what you want. Let me pull up all my notes because I looked through everything this morning and wanted to make sure that we are talking about some good stuff. I hope all of you who were at camp are getting kind of back to normal. So let me start with that. So camp ended on Sunday. I went and hung out with Chris at our restaurant for a little bit and just kind of did what I normally do, which is download everything I was thinking, everything I was feeling. It was really good, but it's really helpful for me that once the event is over to talk to him and like kind of just get it all out of my head so that I'm not sitting around trying to like just think about it. Then on Monday, which usually is my shit day, I actually felt pretty good. I was very shocked that I woke up with energy. I wasn't in my deuter yet. I think that, I don't know, because the event went really well. Like y'all, I just felt like we made so many good discoveries at camp. I just loved every minute of it. I love coaching y'all. I love working closely with y'all. That is like my favorite part of my job. And so like just being around all of you for a weekend and stuff was so good for me. So anyway, Monday, I'm feeling pretty good. I get up, I do a run. I was like, oh my God, I haven't wanted to run forever. Here I am wanting to run and all this other junk. Then I get to about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I had been doing some work and whatnot. The wheels flew off. I was suddenly tired, couldn't think straight, like nothing. I was unmotivated. Like it literally hit me like a ton of bricks. So I laid down and slept three straight hours. I couldn't believe I haven't slept three straight hours in a long time in a nap, but there we are. So I got up, ate some dinner and went back to bed. Essentially, we watched a little bit. We're watching the final season of The Blacklist. We loved that show. So watched like an episode, fell asleep. Yesterday was my shit day. Yesterday, like as my best friend Jane calls it, I was fragile yesterday. And every little thing that went wrong felt like it was breaking me into 1,000 pieces. I was crying. I couldn't focus. I didn't want to do anything. I was supposed to do a Facebook Live for the public. The Zoom didn't work. I started crying and telling Chris, like, I just can't do this. Like everything was magnified by 1,000,000%. I had some meetings. I went to those and I went back to bed and I literally went to my bed and I laid there and I cried. And I off and on slept. I couldn't sleep good. And I just kept thinking, this is what it is. Like, you're just tired at this point. Like I was scrolling Instagram and watching a meme where there was this little girl and she was just like, you know, and she was just having a tantrum at the kitchen table. And her four-year-old little brother looks at her. She's probably about two. He looks at her and said, did you have your nap today? And she was like, no, I didn't. And he was like, you need one. That was me yesterday. I was the little girl crying about everything and people looking at me going like, you need a nap. So I feel much better today. I went to bed early. I slept over 10 hours last night. I just want to say to all of you, the reason why I'm telling you this story is I think we all judge ourselves. Like we will go on vacation and be out of our routine and we'll come home thinking, I should be rested. I should be ready to get back to things. I don't know why I'm not excited. Look, if you've been on vacation, why would you ever be excited about going back to work? It is such an unrealistic expectation. Should you really be excited to go back to work? Should you really be motivated and stuff? Just because you take a vacation or you do something, it does not cure everything. And then for some of us, when we're on vacation, we don't even relax. We go on vacation and we're too busy taking care of everybody else. And we're so busy on vacation. We're like sightseeing. We're like we have a big ass agenda and we're doing and we're doing and we're doing. And sometimes we feel like we need a vacation from the vacation. And yet we will tell ourselves, but I shouldn't be tired because I wasn't at work. I just tell all of you, as women, we have to stop apologizing for needing rest. And we have to stop apologizing for being tired. There's no apology needed. If you are tired, that is not a problem. And when I say being tired is not a problem, it means there's not a problem with you. It doesn't mean you're lazy. It doesn't mean you should have more energy or anything. I just want you to think about how much emotional energy we expend on shaming ourselves for being tired, for shaming ourselves for not being more motivated to do things than we are. That right there, when I tell y'all that there is a level of unnecessary suffering that we do in our life that drives us to eat, that is the stuff to watch out for. It is, when am I apologizing for not having energy to do this next thing? Thinking that I should, like, you're off for the weekend and you think you should have so much energy to go into your week when your weekends, like, barely are a drop in the bucket of recovery compared to the go, go, go you do during the week. That is not something to apologize for. It's something to be aware of. You may need to figure out other places where you can put in some smaller breaks or some rest, or at the very least, can we just cut ourselves some slack that we go out and we do lots of things and we don't need to feel bad that we're not able to do all the things perfectly every second of our lives. When we quit holding ourselves to an impossible standard, you start really seeing what's possible in your life. But if you're always holding yourself to the impossible standard, you'll never see what's possible in your life, ever. So I just wanted to say, for, I know there were over 3,000 of you in total who were participating this weekend. You may or may not still feel full of energy today. I am not. I checked my Oura Ring this morning, literally Monday, Tuesday. Like, I've been getting my sleep, drinking my water, eating healthy. I reduced my workload as much as I could. I've done all the things. And this morning, my Oura Ring is still telling me your heart rate's still elevated. You still need rest. I want us all as women to have a better relationship with taking care of ourselves. So it would be really great for a lot of you to ask this, if this is sounds like you, is to journal on, what are my thoughts about rest? Like, do I feel like I deserve it? Do I feel like it's a shameful thing? Do I sometimes admonish myself for my needs? Do I feel like I get enough of it or not? Why do I not give it to myself? Like, really doing, like, before you give yourself rest, this is the most important thing, because I have been guilty of this for a long time in my life. I tried to give myself breaks for a long time because everybody said you should. And that, like, this is the answer to not being burned out. This is the answer to feeling better. Except when I would rest, I would feel guilty. I still do it. When I would rest, I would tell myself, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm lazy. You need to, like, you still have things you need to do. You're wasting time. You don't deserve this. Someone else is suffering because you're doing it. Like, bad things will, like, my biggest fear is a lot of times when I rest, it's like, bad things will happen when you're resting. I did that with Logan when he was little. When I was going through all of his autism stuff, I remember, you know, just wanting a nap or not wanting to take him to a therapy appointment or something. And I would be so exhausted. One, because I was running around a lot. Two, I was building this business. Three, I'm trying to take care of my kid. Four, I put so much pressure on myself to perform in all areas of my life. And every time that I would take it easy for a minute, all I would think about is, you need to be doing something for Logan. You're never going to save him. You're wasting time. There was incredible pressure I put on myself. And it drove me fucking crazy, y'all. And I do similar things now. I don't worry about him as much as I think every time I try to take a day off, like somehow one of you is suffering for it. So I only say this because I think it's really important for you to understand the relationship you have with rest, because if it's shitty, if you have a lot of guilt over it, a lot of shame, if you call yourself names when you do it, then every time you rest, you're actually not getting rest. You're actually triggering your flight or fight. You're triggering trauma. You're working yourself up more than when you're busy. That's why, like, the answer isn't to just, well, stay busy because I have a shitty relationship with resting. It is to understand your thoughts about it. Take it to ask coaches. Get help with it. Because we all do deserve rest. We deserve it. We need it. And we have all been taught a lot of horseshit about it as women. And then when you repair the relationship with rest, when you take rest, it actually feels restorative instead of draining. And that's what I want for y'all. So I just wanted to kick that off with today, because I know so many of you are trying to jump right back into life and do all things. And I know some of us don't have a choice. Like, some of y'all had to go back to work and stuff, but decide when you come off of vacations and big events and stuff like that, what do you really need to do? And what can wait a few days while you recover, while your energy levels come back to normal? All right. Whew. I don't know why, but I have huge anxiety about watching the camp. I would have been a virtual person. Just ask yourself, what are you so worried about? What's Nancy? Here's an easy question for you. What's going to happen if you watch camp? And just like, be honest, like, here's the things I think might happen. In there, you will see what's causing anxiety. All right. Let's go to today's topic. Let me find my notes. I just pulled them up and lost them on my screen already. Here we go. All right. So today we are going to talk about the three secrets of leveling up your good, better, best. And the first thing I want to say is congratulations. We have now lost over 5,000 pounds as a membership for all that are participating in this month's Drop It Like It's Hot. Y'all have earned 5 American Good American gift cards, 5 water bottles, and 5 No BS prize boxes. So we are rocking and rolling, but we need more of you filling out the survey where you go and you say, this is how much I've lost. It's all on the monthly challenge page on nobswomen.com. So the next set of prizes are my favorites boxes for the next round, and then the grand prize of private coaching once everybody has reached, once we've reached as a group over 10,000 pounds lost, okay? So y'all need to keep going to the challenge page and reporting in, this is what I lost this week, this is what I lost this week. And then also, for all of you that did go to camp, the replays take about 2 weeks. So we have them off at a company right now. If you were in person, or if you are watching virtually, you notice there's lots of different camera angles. Well, all of those videos all have their own individual audio tracks and all kinds of stuff. I don't know if they have the individual audio tracks, but they all have their own individual feeds. So they're going to put those together so that it looks like you're watching a show. Like you're like, this is like Netflix. So we are just making sure that y'all get replays that are interesting, that are good, that are broken up into little chapters so that you can watch your replays on your own timeline. So give us about 2 weeks. And that's usually about how long it takes for us to turn around a 3-day event. And then the last thing is, as you all know, I released a group coaching program. It sold out at camp. But what we would love to do is that if I am ever going to do another one, we have put together a survey of gauging interest in what you might want as future group coaching programs in NoBS. So we will be sending everyone an email after this call. So make sure you check your email inbox, fill that out so that as I run this group, if I decide to do another one or we decide to continue offering any kind of group coaching at all, we'll know what y'all most want and what you most need. And we're going to try to design it around that. As I said at camp, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to keep doing it. I just wanted to do this group so I could test drive some new stuff. Like, I just do everything in NoBS through experimentation and through teaching so that I can do bigger, better things for all of you inside of NoBS. All right, let's get to leveling up good, better, best. So the first thing is for a lot of us, leveling up your food, it can feel hard and it can feel what I would call diety. So you want to make sure that you don't feel bad that if it's like, whenever you think of, okay, I'm going to level up my food, I'm going to try to like make this a little more nutritious, or I'm going to change this thing out, or I'm going to leave this thing off, whatever it is, don't be shocked if it feels a little hard or diety. And because that's really normal, because most of us, what we've been doing is we've been trying to lose weight with all or nothing mentality. Like if you think about your food life for most of your life, you've been trying to lose weight one of two ways. Like I can only eat these foods. These are the good foods. And then here's my big list of bad foods. Or I can only eat this much and I want to eat my tasty foods, but oh my God, they wipe out my points for the day. I remember when I was on Weight Watchers, if I wanted to have like a Blizzard or I wanted to have something I really enjoyed, in order to have one, if I wanted to have it at lunch, that meant I couldn't eat dinner. It would blow my wad. By the time I would have a little bit of breakfast and I'd have something I would want at lunch, next thing I know, I've blown my wad for the day. And then I would try not to eat at night. Isn't that ridiculous? But this is why it can feel hard and diety when you are like, okay, I'm reintroducing foods that I love. But your brain, like if you want to level it up, it starts thinking, oh no, here she goes again. She's going to take everything away. We're not going to be able to have this anymore. And that thought pattern gets triggered when we start trying to level up often. Not for everyone. For some of you, the concept of leveling up is like, this makes 100% sense. Like, this is easy for me. If that's you, you do not have to listen to the rest of this. But if you are someone that every time it's time to level up, you're a little triggered, you get some anxiety, your brain starts wondering, is this diet mentality? Are we taking these foods away? Here's what I want you to remember about good, better, best. We use all the categories all the time. Just because you level up something from good to better, it does not mean you're saying goodbye to the good version. It just means this week, this is how I'm doing it. If I want to eat the other version, I can always do that too. But I'm trying this to see, will I miss the old version? Will I only want it sometimes? And this version gets me through most of the time. It's kind of like with me and nachos. One of the things I really love is like healthified nachos. Aunt JJ has several different recipes on different ways to make me nachos that are all like full of vegetables and stuff. There's no chips to be found anywhere. So like you can take those little tiny red peppers and you just cut them in half. You layer them on a pan. You roast them for a little bit. Then you throw toppings on. And it's where it's like a very healthy version. And then sometimes we do it with baked chips. Sometimes it's fully loaded, all in nachos at my favorite restaurants. But what makes it make sense to me is I know that like there are just times it's like, I just want the flavor of nachos, but I'm also really wanting to have more vegetables. So it's worth having this version, but I don't sit there and tell myself, this is as good as that. It's like, no, this doesn't taste like that. It's not that healthified nachos, like I'm not going to lie to myself and it tastes exactly the same as Cabo's nachos down the street. No, they're not the same. What I do tell myself though is I like this version and I like that version. And I eat the healthified version more often because it's filling. It gets me my vegetables in. It's a good substitute. to be able to have what I want more often without gaining weight. Like, I have very good thoughts about it. So it's just really important that you understand that when you are leveling up your foods and you're using good, better, best, we are not getting rid of our good foods. And it's so easy for our brain. It wants to associate when we're leveling up to go from, I'm making this a little more nutritious. I'm making this a little different so that I can have it more often. Our brain wants to think, and that means this one's bad, or that means the good version, you're not going to be able to hardly ever have it. That is not what it means. It just means I'm giving myself lots of opportunities to eat foods I love in different ways. And sometimes I'm going to want fully loaded nachos, and sometimes I'm going to want the healthy vegetable version, and that's okay. All I want all of you to think, like, I am learning how to include all the foods, not just some of them anymore. And I'm learning to include them on my own terms, how it makes sense for me, how it works in my life in all kinds of ways. So we want to get past this mindset where I am either dieting and eating all healthy foods, or I'm completely off track and eating whatever the fuck I want in the name of I'm working on myself. I want y'all to lose weight in what I call the gray area. And the gray area is not I've gotten rid of everything that triggers me. And the gray area is not I only eat these foods because they're good for me. The gray area is where I really stop and think about the life I want with food and how, and being like continuously thinking about that. Because one of the things that I noticed as I lost weight and as I am in maintenance, I am always thinking about the life I want with food. And it changes almost every year. It radically changes. Like, some years it's all about more about the nutrition and stuff. I will tell you right now, I'm leaning more back into the nutritious side simply because it's not because I think foods are bad for me. I am really paying attention to how my body is performing because I have just been tired. And I'm like, where are all the areas I can work on before, like, I want to take some supplements? Now, I am taking a few supplements. I'm getting a B12 shot every week right now. I get the testosterone pellets in my butt. I'm doing some of that. But there's also, like, this is a favorite thought of mine. I am willing to eat in different ways than I'm used to just see if it makes me feel better. Because feeling better right now at this stage in my life is very important to me. I want stable moods. I want to wake up. I don't need to wake up every day bouncing like I did in my 30s, but I want to wake up each day feeling like it's just time to get up. I may not look forward to the day, but I don't feel like I can't drag my ass out of the bed. So I am looking for every little advantage. And one of the advantages, I'm like, let's really examine food. That's why I'm tracking. I'm not making tons of changes, but I am really tracking, like, this is what my Oura Ring said today. And this is what you ate. This is what you did today. And I'm just looking for patterns. So for all of you, I want you to think about food is not just what, like, is it good or is it bad? Food is, how does this fit in my lifestyle? Is this what I want? Like, is this how I want to eat for my taste? Is this how I want to eat for my emotions? Is this how I want to eat for my physical well-being? I want y'all taking into consideration lots of different things, because the way we lose weight is not by changing our foods. The way we lose weight is by being really intentional about what we want to put in our body and being really intentional on how much we put in our body. If you're really intentional, you're really thinking it through, and you're paying attention to what your wants and needs are and what's important to you, you will land on a weight and an eating lifestyle that you will never want to give up. And it will be because you're creating what you want instead of abiding by rules because you think you have to. And that's very different. So the first phase of good, better, best for many people is just learning to be with and eating what you have historically called your bad food or your favorite foods that you think aren't good for you. These are the foods that you actively restrict or avoid because you tell yourself, I can't be around these foods. That's not good for me. If somehow I break out fat when I eat a piece of bread, whatever your story is. A lot of times when we start with good, better, best, you are going to be practicing eating foods that you have put on off limits for a long time. And the reason why I have you do that is because what I want to teach you is that when you're not eating them because you've had a bad day and you're not eating them, overeating them out of reaction because you normally take them away from yourself, when they just become like, I literally now can just eat a couple of cookies and go to bed. I now can go out to dinner and order nachos and I don't have to clean the plate anymore. Because I don't feel threatened that they're going to be taken away. I can stop it enough because I know I'm not doing something bad. I'm just enjoying some food. And I get to do that all the time now. You get that level of freedom. So I want you to think about this. With good, better, best, your goal is not to only eat the best foods. It's also not to only eat the good foods. It's to expand your vocabulary and your understanding why lots of different foods can and will be included in your lifestyle. I really want that for all of you. I want you to enjoy your good foods just as much as you enjoy your best foods. I want you to never think when I'm eating the best food that it is morally better or superior to a good food. I just want you to say, like, there are just times they all have their place. And I'm going to learn how to be real decisive about when I have these things. So once you get to where you are calming down around food in general, like where you notice, like, I've decided to plan cookies. Like, for some of you who have a lot of food rules, I would plan something that makes you anxious and nervous to be around for every day for like 2 to 3 weeks. Put yourself through the gauntlet. So somebody tell me a food that right now they are actively restricting because they think they can't handle themselves around it. Go ahead and just tell me in the chat. Chips. All right, let's take chips. Ooh. Cookies, crackers, y'all got some good stuff. All right. This is what I want all of you to do. If you answered because you are actively restricting something. Now, this is different than I'm choosing not to have. Let me explain this. Some of you are not actively restricting. Some of you are listing things that you are choosing not to have right now because you're focused on other things. There's a sense of calm. There's a sense of decision. There's a sense of compassion and caring that's happening in you. You don't need to follow this instruction. This is for people who are actively restricting. That means I'm not having this because I keep telling myself, there's no way, girl. Girl, you can't have chips. You eat like an asshole every time. So we're just not going to have them right now. I want you to really decide, is there a food right now that I'm actively restricting because at my core of my belief is that food has power over me? I can't say no, or I'll never stop eating if I do. Those thoughts, when you take the food away, now you're probably going to feel restricted, or you're at least going to feel helpless, less than, broken. Something's coming up. Those are my peoples that I'm talking to. I want you to plan that food, like get your planner out, figure out what time of day you're going to have it. And I want you to plan it for the next 21 days. every day. And I want you to, and it should freak you out. Like right now, some of y'all should be like, oh my God, hang on one second. Like literally, I wish I had music. It's going to be silent. So if you're listening to the recording, I'm going to need like 20 seconds. I'm going to run. Okay, I'm back. Some of you are going to take this challenge and this is going to be you. Oh no, Corinne. I can't do it. I will gain the weight if I try. You are literally clutching your pearls. You probably feel it in your throat. If that's you, for God's sakes, please do my 21-day challenge. And here's why. We are not going to take foods away in restriction and no BS. I'm going to say it again. We are not going to take foods away in no BS and restrict ourselves. We are going to learn how to have these foods and debunk the myth that you can't control yourself. And if you have it on your plan for 21 days, and this is how I suggest you do it. Number one, plan it during a meal or something so that you're hungry for it. This is what I don't want you doing. Don't eat it when you're not hungry. You get to have whatever it is, but you got to be hungry for it. So you might need to eat chips for dinner. You know why you want to eat chips for dinner? Start with your chips. Then you can eat something else. But I just want you to see how this works with meals, how this works in your life. If you're a dessert person, guess what you're doing at dinner? You're eating dessert first. And if you run out of room in the inn for dinner, guess what? You're going to stop eating so that you can like examine. How does this food feel in me? Does it keep me full? Does it do anything for me? Because right now, a lot of you are just eating dessert thinking it makes me feel better. Food can't make you feel anything other than physical things. But I just want you to pay attention. Like, is it worth eating dessert if I'm going to have to be hungry or I'm not going to feel as good 2 hours later? Because this is not to villainize your favorite foods. It is to tell the complete story around them. We talked about this at camp. What a lot of us do is we cherry pick the story we want to tell about our foods. Like, chips are so hard. Or they comfort me. They're the only thing I know how to do during stress. And you're cherry picking the story you want to tell instead of when I eat chips, I feel better for a minute because I'm distracted. But here's the other thing. I notice that I burp. I also notice it like makes me extra hungry in an hour. Like I'm ravenous in an hour. It must be doing something to my digestive enzymes. It must be doing something to my blood sugar. We just want to start having a complete story around all these foods, because if you have a complete story around the foods, it's a lot easier to make an informed decision. Most of y'all are making a decision from a very incomplete story over and over and over again, and I don't want that for you. All right, so there's a 21, and this is a spontaneous challenge. My coaches are probably going to have to go in and explain this in the Facebook group because people are going to be like, I took the challenge. And there is a, what happened? This literally is what we call spontaneous challenge. That means we are not doing this as a membership. But if you all want to do it in your accountability groups and you want to post about what you're doing and stuff, and you want to do it for yourself because it won't overwhelm you, then you do it. If you are someone who's sitting there right now and you hear it and you're like, oh my God, one more thing to do, blah, 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 blah. Don't fucking do it. The other thing I want to tell y'all about no BS is you got some agency. Let's start doing the shit that feels right. And if you're not ready, no shame on your game. Save that shit for later. Here's one thing I can promise you for your entire time in no BS. I am really good at always having spontaneous shit. You don't do this one, you ain't behind. Ain't nothing bad happened to you. Corinne's going to be creative in August. I'm pretty creative in July. I'm sure my creative juices are not going to extinguish anytime soon. So we only do the things that make sense to us. I'm trying to teach all of you how to have empowered decision-making in your life, not to sit around and always be a victim. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't know, it seems like a lot to do. I can't believe she's making us do one more thing. This is too overwhelming. Stop right now. This is the time to practice saying, you know what? I don't want to do that challenge. I just want to do no BS shit. I want you to learn how to hear things in your life and be decisive about what you will and won't do because it aligns with you. No more going along with just what people say all the time. Okay. I feel like we're talking about 1,000 different things today. All right. So once you, like, after you've ate it every day for 21 days and you've worked it into, I'm going to be hungry before I eat it. So pop it into a meal. This is not a, I'm going to eat this every day when I'm not hungry experiment. I want you using doable hunger with it. I want you paying attention to when you've had enough. You may not, after the first few times, actually stop it enough. Let me tell you what usually happens. If it is a food you have historically overate and your brain wants to check out, or your brain thinks that you shouldn't be having it and it heaps guilt on you, so it wants you to eat faster so that you don't have to beat yourself up for like 10 more minutes, that's going to happen in the beginning. You need to get past that stage. Expect that stage to come. Expect you might overeat because your brain is still thinking, oh, you're going to take it away. You have to take the taking it away off the table. You have to say, like, no, not taking it away. So if you want to overeat today, just know you're overeating, but it's not because it's getting taken away. Because guess what, bitch? You got to eat this again tomorrow and then another day and another day and another day. What we want to do is we want to teach our brain that this food does not have nearly as much power as we've been giving it. If you're not going to take it away, eventually your brain does this. It normalizes to the food. It's just like when you buy that new car. And you swear to God, this is the one you're going to like clean with a baby's diaper every week and no fucking body's eating in your car. 4 months later, you ain't washed it in a month. Goldfish is ground into the back because you've normalized to your car. We want to do the same thing to these foods, which means you're going to need to go through the part of eating it probably like you always do, or at least having the same thoughts, but you've got to take away removing the food as an option so that your brain has a chance to have it frequently enough to normalize. Then the overeating stops. The compulsion to eat more stops. Then it opens the door to, do I even really want this today? I mean, if I'm going to get to eat it whenever I want, do I even want it? Is there anything else I want? You get bored with it. There is freedom in knowing you can have it. You just choose not to today. All right. So let's see, what else did I want to tell y'all? So here's the other thing. When you keep eating your favorite foods with an all or nothing, perfectionistic, stressful and harsh relationship with it that creates, when your thoughts about all of it is creating tons of anxiety and stress, both mentally and physically, you're not healthy. I want you to think about this. If you pulling all your favorite foods away leaves you always feeling deprived, denied, afraid if you get around it, you're going to blow it. If you have that level of anxiety around it, and you're doing it all in the name of health, how the fuck is it healthy for you to be creating an anxiety-driven relationship with food? It's not. So if health and keeping your weight off for good is the point of your eating, then what we want to do is we want to make sure that you have a fully healthy relationship with food. That's not just the quality. It is the relationship you have with it. So we need to unlearn. Like, we need to unlearn our food rules, how we talk to ourselves. We have to reduce the micromanaging of calories and macros. We have to ditch the vigilant attitude that we have about every little thing that we eat that sends us into flight or fight syndromes. That's what has to happen to lose weight. Corinne, what if the scale goes up? Here's what's probably not going to happen. If you are eating your favorite foods once a day when you're hungry, the scale's not going to go up. That is a myth. Now, if you eat your favorite foods every day when you're not hungry and you're just eating them in the name of rebuilding the relationship with food, the scale could go up. But that is going to be a temporary thing until you get used to eating those foods. Are you willing to gain a couple of pounds and then lose them after this is over so that you can reset the relationship with food? Now, if you reintroduce them and in the very beginning, like for a few days, you really overeat and the scale goes up, here's what I encourage you to do. If you overeat them, I'd skip a week or two of weighing, because what you want to do right now is you want to weigh how the relationship with the food is changing. The whole goal of this experiment is so that by the end of 21 days, that you feel differently about the food to where you can be around it without eating your face off on it anymore, where you're now planning it when it really matters. You're not having to plan it daily anymore, because once you normalize to it, you don't need it every day. That's the goal. Anybody got any more questions? Let me go to the Q&A. Make sure you pop them. I just happened to see Cynthia's, but you'll need to put things in the Q&A. Why am I doing testosterone? My testosterone's in the tank. It's very common for women in the 40s. I'm 49. For our testosterone or estrogen levels to go really, really low. Mine are like, let's say you should be, these are not the numbers, but let's say you should be a 10, just to be average. Mine's like a negative 10. So testosterone, what it does is it helps just give you a little bit more energy. What is the opposite of actively restrictive eating? Actively inclusive eating. Meaning, I'm going to choose and include foods that I love, including healthy ones. Like, actively inclusive eating means I am being very mindful about what I'm going to eat. I'm very mindful about the stories I tell myself around food. I am also very mindful about there are times I want to eat things because I really enjoy this food, and I've set the environment up to actually enjoy it. And then there are times that I'm going to eat healthier foods and more nutritious foods because I deserve nutritious foods, because these are the ones I like. I don't feel like I have to. I just want them as part of the entire ecosphere of my eating relationship. Y'all go ahead and start piling your questions. Like, all of you are asking questions in the chat. Stick it into the Q&A if you want me to answer it, because I'm going to just move straight into Q&A. Let me give you the three secrets while y'all populate my Q&A. We have plenty of time. To level up your good, better, best, you have to know what your good, better, best foods are first. So a lot of you keep trying to level up without actually making the list. Revisit lesson 5 in module 1 so that you can make a deep dive list of what your foods are right now. And then keep that list with you so that you can always be thinking about, oh, is this something that I can level up? Now, on good, better, best, there's two ways to level up. You can level up the quality, or three ways. You can level up the frequency of how often you're eating things. You can also level up the quantity. So like for me, when I eat nachos now, I just don't eat a lot of them. I know nachos, if I eat a lot, I'm going to feel like ass. I'm going to get really bloated. I'm probably going to have diarrhea because I'm not used to eating that rich food. So when I eat them, I eat less quantity, knowing that I would like to eat more because it tastes good, but I don't want to eat more because I'd like to have them more often without having negative side effects like diarrhea, belching, heartburn. Because I'm not eating puritanical nachos. Grin is eating usually barbecue nachos with the truck thrown on top. Like, give it to me all. There's quantity. So like, I'm going to eat a smaller amount knowing it's nachos. And if I eat a lot, like I'm going to get full, like your body is going to get full fast on nachos. That's the way I always tell myself. So what we want to do is we want to eat nice and slow, and we don't want to eat a huge quantity. Sometimes we're leveling up the quality. That's when I go from fully loaded nachos to red pepper nachos. Sometimes it is frequency. I only have fully loaded nachos probably like maybe once or twice a month now. And it's not because I can't. It's just because when I look at the totality of how I want to feel and stuff, it's like, that is just enough for me now. I've up-leveled so many other areas of my life in terms of like, I enjoy my life. I have things that keep me entertained in the evenings. I do a lot of stress reduction stuff now. I don't need to go out to eat to relax anymore. So I don't have a frequency number. So it's frequency, quantity, and quality. My thought that comes up when I think I'm having peanut butter every day creates anxiety. Diet mentality, it's probably diet mentality, but you just need to ask yourself why. What is the problem with having, like, if you ask yourself, what is the problem with having peanut butter every single day? It's only because your brain is like, oh God, Maureen, you always overeat it. Oh God, you won't be able to stop. Oh God, we want to prove that version of us wrong. We want to actually plan it every day and sit and do it mindfully and say, like, I am on a mission to never have anxiety around peanut butter ever again. I want to live the kind of life where peanut butter is not a cause for anxiety. Like, I want all of you to think about that. If I'm going to have anxiety, I want to have anxiety about big things, running a race. I want to have anxiety. I want my anxiety source to be saved for nearly crashing my car. I want to have anxiety about going out and doing epic things in my life. Like, I want to have anxiety before I go on stage to teach y'all. What I don't want anxiety over is a donut. Like, I'm through with that version of my life. And that's what I want for y'all. It's like, let's get over that part. You have plenty of amazing things in this world to do. You have plenty of new things to try. Like, I want y'all to, if you're going to have anxiety, let's have anxiety over some shit that matters, not peanut butter. I'm reading Mel Robbins' book. What would be the small Lego block of getting out of obsessing? I don't know what the small Lego blocks are of obsessing over good, bad food relationship. I've not read that book yet, Kaylee, or whichever one, or maybe I just don't remember it. But if I was going to, like, the small, like, I think of it as like the Jenga tower. It's like looking at foods, like anytime you think this one's bad, why? Why is that bad? Where'd you hear that from? Is there somewhere else that that's not bad? And I will just tell you, a lot of things that we think are bad are not bad. Like, we're very fortunate, even with all of our processed foods today. In the 1900s, the early 1900s, all that processed shit that we do now saved lives. People were dying of gangrene. Reason why we have preservatives and stuff. Now, I'm not saying we need to just live on a processed food diet. What I am saying is that we have to be very careful about throwing all of it away. It's like, at one time, that was a healthy food. Like, one thing I wish that every No BS woman would do is watch The Foods That Built America. It is when you think about how, like, oh, y'all should just watch it. It is so eye-opening. Do you eat all you want in one sitting? No, we do not eat. We are never eating all we want. What are we doing, Kim? We're going to have it and we're going to stop it enough. And you know what you're going to do? Be super uncomfortable. Your brain's going to be like, oh my God, you need to eat more. You shouldn't have started this anyway. And you're going to be like, I knew I would think that. but I'm doing my 21-day experiment. This is actually, it's not actually true that I've screwed up. What's actually true is I'm doing exactly what Corinne said to do. So I couldn't be screwing up. My brain just thinks that. Then your brain is going to be like, yeah, but you're probably going to gain weight. You might as well just eat more. It's like, no, actually what I'm doing is I'm losing the weight of judgment, of anxiety about food, so that I can learn how to eat these without having to overeat because of shitty ass thoughts like that. That's what we're actually doing here. So you are not going to eat all you want in one sitting. You are only going to eat when you're hungry and at enough. If you're not hungry, you're not going to have it. That's why I'm encouraging you to plan these foods in a meal. Because this is not what Corinne's doing. You're going to plan it and you get to eat when you're not hungry. And we're not doing it so that you can eat past enough. If you eat past enough, you do a discovery worksheet. And it's, if you eat past enough, it's not because, see, I can't control myself. It's like, oh, I ate past enough because I need to hear the thoughts that usually drive that. And this is exactly what I'm going to overcome in 21 days. 21 days of doing this, I will have figured it out. Take what you're finding to ask coaches. We'll help you figure this out. We're going to find those healthy nacho recipes all over Pinterest for all of you. Like, literally, go search me on Pinterest. I have boards and boards pinned of all kinds of things I've ate or that I'm interested in. Pinterest is a plethora of amazing recipes. That's where I get all of them and I send them to Aunt JJ. Does this apply to alcohol or do I need to choose an actual food? You can apply it to alcohol if you want to. Just know you're not going to be hungry for it. But if I was going to do this with alcohol, I would definitely plan an enough amount. And then you have like, and I'm just going to tell you, a lot of you will think, well, that's so wasteful, but let me tell it to you this way. When I did some of this at home with wine ages ago, if I thought, all right, I'm going to be able to have like my new enough is going to be 2 glasses of wine. I would get the bottle, I'd pour 2 glasses of wine out, and then I poured the rest down the drain. Because I wanted to like take away the one of the different things about alcohol is that once your brain starts, its job is to relax your habit brain. I mean, your reasoning brain, it's a little different. The reason why I would pour it out is because I wanted to make sure that I didn't have a way to keep drinking. Now, some people are like, oh my God, that's so wasteful. Except in order to buy the said glass of wine at a restaurant, I have to pay legally twice as much. So I'm not really wasting it. And that's what I told myself. It's never a waste to pour wine down the drain so that you feel better tomorrow. It's never a waste to pour wine down the drain so that you can reestablish your relationship with alcohol. That was the price I was willing to pay. I would tell myself, am I willing to pay? Like if I'm drinking a $15 wine, is my peace and happiness worth $7 a night? Yeah, it was. Well beyond. And that's what I told myself over and over again. And it really taught me how to be with myself in that buzz state and to figure out like 2 glasses is about where I need to live. After 2 glasses, I always feel like hell. And I've been really trying to live into that. There are foods that I turn to in times of, Lisa, you need to start hammering through because I have I have to go in 6 minutes. So go ahead and start from the bottom up. There are foods that I turn to in times of high stress and monthly cycle on binge. Would you recommend adding those to the challenge to lessen the binge? Hell yeah, Brenda. That's probably what I would do the next 21 days. Pick one of those foods. Because this is what you'll find that's amazing. Is there a link to the 21-day challenge? Deidre, no. I came up with it off the top of my head in this call. Like, this is what I'm saying, y'all. Don't look for this to be too complicated. I literally just started talking about it. And just thought, hey, this sounds like a good idea and threw it out to y'all. Like, you know, I'm just throwing chum in the water to see which ones of my little sharks come up and eat. All right. I would do that, Brenda. And I would pick one. And what happens is when you pick one food, this is what's so crazy, y'all. you pick one thing and you work on it, the next one gets exponentially easier because you've now already laid the track down of like, oh, we're not taking foods away. So then when you start experimenting with others, it just gets easier and easier because you're speeding up the relationship you have with all the foods. Does this apply to alcohol? Oh, wait, I already did that one. I had gastric sleeve over a year ago. I'm struggling to find my hunger cues. Should I just eat by the clock or should I wait for a growling, my previous hunger cue? If you've got gastric sleeve, I would eat by the clock for now. And then when you eat, see if you can find hunger cues. You've been medically changed. So that's very different than someone who is just reestablishing a relationship with their body. You will be able to do that also, Tammy, but because you've been medically altered, what I would suggest is you do eat by the clock and telling yourself, I'm going to set regular intervals, but before I eat, I just kind of want to check in and see, like, do I feel like this is the right interval for me or not? That's still you taking control over all of it. That's still you being intentional and thinking. If the chosen food for the 21-day challenge is sweets, for example, does it have to be the exact same every day or can it be cake one day and pie the next? I think, like, to me, cake and pie live in the same family, but for most of you, if you want to just make it easier, I'd probably just pick one and just do it every single day. Our bodies are never hungry for alcohol. So is that always a planned overeat? I don't think it's a planned overeat. I think it's just part of just like, I'm just including this as part. Alcohol is a little different in terms of the way I like to think about it is I'm including it, but I'm also not deluding myself that I'm doing something for me other than I'm having alcohol because I enjoy wine. I like to have wine and I'm going to need to figure out the rhythm to which I can have wine and lose weight and feel good the next day. And to not be drinking wine to, like, for a lot of you, examine why you're having it. I do not drink it anymore because I'm stressed or tired. I've cut that part of my life out. I now literally do it when I'm having fun with friends. Like if I'm in Vegas, I don't even drink every day anymore because I don't need it to have all the fun, but it's a part of what we do. I do have my wine on my date nights. And now I don't even have it every date night. But because I've given myself permission to figure out the relationship I truly want with it, not try to have a relationship with it that I think I should. I've just been really thinking about, like, what does Corinne want free of all the rules? And I think that that's what's important for all of you. What if it's a food you have typically binged on previously? I'm doing trust your body, but this feels like it could be scary to try. It is going to be scary to try only because of the way you're thinking about it. And it's literally scary and it makes sense. I just want you to understand the only reason why I'm scared is because I think these are my binge foods. What I would love is for you to get to a point where it's like, I'm working on my binging, but these are not binge foods. Sometimes I binge on them, but there's nothing wrong with the foods. Now, for those of you who are binge eaters, you may not want to do this right now. You may want to continue to work on the trusting your body course. If you're not ready for this challenge, just say, like, I'm meeting myself where I'm at. I'm not ready for this challenge. But I am actively working on this stuff. And that's okay too. There's 1,000 ways to work through the relationship with your food. This is just one. All right. The last two secrets, because I keep getting off on other things. That first one is know what your good and better best foods are so that you have that list that you can be actively changing through quantity, through quality, through quantity, quality, and frequency. Then there's a difference between level up and restriction. That's what we've been talking about. Really understanding that leveling up is not restricting, that all the foods are equal. All we're trying to do is watch our language around it. You don't have to do anything. You might choose to. This food is not bad. This is just food. And I would even venture to say, like, this food is not good. This is just food. All foods have different they serve different emotional needs. They serve different cultural needs. They serve different taste needs. They serve different physical needs. That's what food's doing. And there's a place for all of it. The last thing is just to understand that leveling up to your better and best foods can help all of you who struggle with staying full long enough, like having enough more. One thing I do know, this doesn't make like the more nutritious foods better than the less nutritious foods. But if you're eating more fruits and vegetables and stuff, the likelihood of the food taking longer to digest is high. So if you would like your meals to last longer, when you eat chips, also include maybe some vegetables along with it. I want y'all to think about what all am I adding? What all am I surrounding myself and putting into me that's going to help me have the best relationship I can with food, to help me lose my weight, and to give me my emotional and physical needs? That's what we're trying to do here at No BS. And with that, we are out. I will see y'all on Sunday. I hope this call was good. If you have any more questions about the 21 days, just ask and ask coaches, ask in Facebook. People will get me. If anybody's confused, my team will ask me, like, Corinne, what about this? What about this? I will get the answers out there. Just don't overthink it. Make it fun. Make it an experiment. I literally made this up out of my butt today. So there are no hard and fast rules. Just decide, I'm going to make this work for me, and I'm going to figure this out. All right. Bye, y'all.